Have you been introduced as the mayor yet?
It's City Desk. News and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Good morning. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We're glad to be here for another edition of the City Desk podcast. We are recording this program on Friday, October 12th. Our public affairs specialist, Cecilia Dobbs Walton, is en route to Louisville right now with her husband, who is an Ironman. He's going to be in the Ironman competition. So here today joining us is the Chief Administrative Officer of the City of Biloxi, Mike Leonard. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, I was an Ironman once. I'm kind of rusty now, though.
And you're not a former Marine either, are you?
I'm a Marine.
Right, right.
A rusty one.
Well, I still appreciate the thing you do every year whenever you bring in the cake for the anniversary of the Marine Corps.
Wherever we are in the world, we always celebrate that day.
That is very special. Yep. It is. Now, Mike Leonard, we're working on our citywide newsletter right now, and one of the big stories we're going to have in there has a headline that, when it comes to progress, seeing is believing. You must be impressed with all of the work we have going on throughout the city right now.
Well, I've said this before, we spent much of the early parts of this administration gathering the money and beginning the design of a whole series of projects. And our theme this year was happening now. Truly, it's all coming up out of the ground, brick and mortar and streets and so forth that we talked about for the last year and a half are all happening. Looking out the window right now, I see Howard Avenue, and the bricks have made their way all the way, the brick pavers, all the way from Raynor to Lemieux, and ready to cross over and do the last section in the next few weeks.
But you know what everybody always says, okay, so you've got it done from Raynor to Lemieux, can I start driving that road? And it's not that simple.
It's not that simple because at the end of the area they just paved, we will now begin demolition of the street, which is basically the intersection of Lemieux and Howard Avenue. So you could drive up Howard Avenue, but then you'd have to back all the way back down because you couldn't get out.
Right, right.
So be patient. We're getting there pretty quickly. Just be patient.
I got to tell you, there were a number of people who were, and I ran into them the day of cruising the coast, Biloxians, who said, you know, I don't know that if I was in favor of that project, but the bricks on that street. But now that they see it, and it's the same thing with the boardwalk in West Biloxi. J.J. Paratich runs Sharkheads. His dad, Ronnie Paratich, they call him RP, he said that you should call President Trump and get him to come see this wall you're building down here next to the beach. But now that he sees it, he loves it.
If anybody listening has not seen that boardwalk, it's really beautiful. Go down to Restaurant Row, have an evening dinner, and the lights come on and on the boardwalk when it gets dark, and you can walk the boardwalk. Nice breeze. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really terrific, and we're well along in design of the next section of that boardwalk, which will run from Veterans all the way to Camellia, which is, if you don't know where Camellia is, it's just past the
Treasure Bay.
And eventually we'll bring that in a third increment, we'll bring that all the way to White Avenue. So it's a terrific boardwalk. And we've just now started the boardwalk around between the Palace Casino and Point Cadet. That'll run all the way to the bridge and under the bridge and around. And that's the first section of boardwalk on the other end. And that the contractor's got his construction fence up and it's beginning work.
The mayor has said all along that this will tap into a synergy among all the businesses along our waterfront, number one, and number two, it will engage with the waterfront.
If you don't believe it, go down to Restaurant Row and look at the cars in the parking lots.
What was weird, though, again, is how a number of them were opposed to it. They were scared of what it was going to do.
There's actually a group now that's formed called the Restaurant Row Association. That is going to help us look after the boardwalk and be sure it's taken care of and cool. So forth. So they're excited because they know that's bringing business to them.
Excellent, excellent. Speaking of bringing business, and I know we've got several other things to talk about, but it seems like we had highs and lows on cruising the coast. And by highs, I mean the number of registrants, and lows, the number of traffic tickets the police wrote. It was like an all-time low.
Yeah, I was very surprised, and there's been a lot of talk about why. Perhaps maybe it was weather, I'm not sure why, but 8,500 almost cars registered, and of course probably near 100,000 people down here during that week. But in Biloxi, the number of traffic tickets that were written, the number of accidents, the number of incidents, all way down, makes us wonder, do we do the cones again next year or not? Frankly, there was an article actually in today's paper about the fact that the cones do exactly what we expect, and they slow the traffic down, they keep people from changing lanes, and apparently prevent as many accidents, a lot of accidents. So we'll see, we'll have to see. It's kind of a toss-up of where you stand on the cones. They work for us, but they really weren't necessary for traffic control. We had them, obviously. The whole theme is always we need to be able to get emergency vehicles up and down the road in the case of an emergency if the traffic gets really congested. But we don't, and we have to have the cones there ready to order that. We didn't have to order it this year, and so we'll see.
Scraping the coast, the same thing happened. The cones were out, but we never had to go to one lane. And the easiest way I think of to tell people is, if you're at home in West Biloxi and someone has a heart attack, or if your house catches on fire, when you dial 911, you expect the city to be there in a timely manner.
Right. Well, another one that's booming along here right now is that what we've talked about for years is the Pops Ferry extension. We'll have one more public hearing coming up on the 28th at the Donald Snyder Center to talk about, we'll have the Coliseum there in addition to talk about what's going on with them. I mean, that's a road that we hope to build, have built by 2020. It'll run, you know, from Pass Road all the way through to Highway 90 with an exit off into the Coliseum. It'll be a quick in and out, and that'll move a lot of traffic out of the Coliseum.
And this is a project that's being funded by the Federal Highway Administration as well as the Mississippi Department of Transportation with some money from the city. But the public hearing is going to be at the Donald Snyder Community Center on the first floor meeting room. And I want to make sure people know the date. The date is October 29th at 6 p.m. And the real rub here is that Coliseum road, that access road, is going to require the acquisition of four parcels. And this was something that came up later from the Coliseum, and that's why we're having this additional public meeting.
Right, a total of 8 houses completely that are going to be impacted. And there are some houses in that development that won't be, and they'll be left behind. So I think most of the concern is on the, not on the side of the people whose houses are going to be bought, but the ones who will be left.
Mm-hmm. And how it changes the character of the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I want to mention Pops Ferry Park. We talk about happening now. It seems like we've been, is a sort of a ball and chain anchor on us on Causeway Park. We have finally gotten the certificate of occupancy for the bait shop. The operator of the bait shop now has a green light to begin moving in, getting set up for kayak rentals and getting his seating upstairs for his little bar and restaurant and downstairs for his cooking facilities. But we went to the MDEQ, Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality, and said, hey, you know, there's almost $1 million left in that grant. Can we get some more stuff? And they said, what kind of stuff do you want? We said, well, for starters, we'd like to overlay the asphalt all the way back to Pops Ferry so it'd be attractive all the way in. Mm-hmm. We'd like to plant some more trees. Then we need more larger big oak trees and so forth. So we want to plant some additional trees. We realize we need more of these big heavy duty trash receptacles that'll help us with people depositing their trash. We realize the interpretive center, as pretty as it is, didn't have any power, wasn't designed to have any power, but people are wanting to rent it. Mm-hmm. So we want to have power installed there. And security cameras. Sad to say, we're already having problems with graffiti, with youngsters getting in there and spray painting stuff on walls and in the sidewalk, and so we need to get security cameras up. We have a gate, as you know, that gate right now shows the operating hours from 7 to 4 in the afternoon. And as soon as the bait shop is open, we'll change those operating hours. But the walking gate is open all the time.
That is the beauty of it. You still have that access to where you want to see those beautiful sunsets.
Yeah. People have said to me, well, I can't get in to see the sunset. Yes, you can. All you got to do is park your car and walk 100 yards and you're in and looking at your sunset.
And the beauty of it is the parking area is right at the gate, right at the boat ramp. Mm-hmm. So the park's always been open. It's just there's a little more control on the new parts of the park.
And how about being able to drive from one end of the city on Division Street without without getting into the dirt? Finally, we're seeing that. But this next thought brings me back to if you've ever seen the pictures of the East and West Railroads, Continental Railroads meeting in Utah mm-hmm. with a golden spike. Mm-hmm. A similar incident, although on a smaller scale, happened just this week with the sewer. Where the Oscarinda contract and the Hemp Hill contract, north and south of the railroad track, met for the first time underneath the railroad at Benacky, and a giant 20-inch diameter pipe that was drilled through underneath the railroad track, joining those two projects, and so we could start moving sewage from north of the track to south of the track and. Or from south to north, and on its way to the Keegan's Bayou plant. So that was a big deal. And of course, that's right there in that area around Howard Avenue and Porter Avenue, which has been pretty torn up for a while. But it's very, very deep sewer, and we're trying to keep traffic flowing.
As far as very deep, that is actually the deepest part of the entire project south of the railway, they tell me. And it's dangerous when you dig down that deep.
Well, yeah, think about it. How'd you be like to be the guy that's down there 28 feet down?
On a narrow street on top of that.
Yeah, so a lot of safety concerns. We'll have to go slow.
William Sackett, do you have any questions for Mike Leonard? Because we're getting ready to wrap up unless Mike has something else.
Aren't you excited from point A to point B? In other words, when you first came and where we stand today. Unbelievable. It's wonderful.
It just never stops. Every day's a holiday. Every meal's a feast.
We closing on that. If you have any questions about things that are coming up this weekend, make sure to look at the Mike. We got one other issue that we didn't touch on, and I apologize for this. We have an issue on the city council agenda that involves the Biloxi Public Schools as well as Harrison County Schools. And what the city's asking for is, hey, let's slow down on this proposed bond issue for north of the interstate for the county school district.
Well, I don't want to really get into the details of this other than to say that we believe and have heard that there are a lot of young people that are living in the city of Biloxi going to a county school, and their parents are actually paying more tax than they would if they were going to a Biloxi school, and they'd rather go to a Biloxi school. And we think maybe we ought to just hold up here and see maybe the county and the city talk this thing through.
Not to mention the people who have no children that are paying the higher school taxes. In essence, if you want to learn more about that issue, go to the city's website and click on the city council agenda, and you can see what the mayor's proposing. It's item Z, as in zebra, on the agenda. Mike Leonard, I know you're very busy. I know you got a lot of irons in the fire, but I want to thank you for being here.
Hey, that school thing is not just a Biloxi deal. I mean, the Mayor Gillich and the Mayor of Gulfport, Mayor Hughes, have had many long conversations about this. They have a similar problem over in Gulfport.
Okay, yeah, but the taxes over here in Biloxi are so much lower. William Sackett, thank you very much.
You've been listening to City Desk. News and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.